¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FP Podcast. Primo's in the house. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, and we got Ricky Torres, Hector Reyes, and Primo Nico Gutierrez.
¡Órale!
¡Órale!
Oh yeah, baby. Oh yeah, we're good. We're good. We're good. We're feeling good.
Feeling proud.
UCLA. UCLA.
And I'm a big UCLA fan, and I usually don't watch March Madness, but you guys got me into the Familia bracket, which is even more players than our family football.
Yeah.
So I had to start watching it, and sure enough, the team I love the most is in the Final Four, baby. UCLA.
Can you imagine? They had to win the playoff game, and they were losing that game, and then all of a sudden now here they are, Final Four. Bruins.
Hey, Cinderella, man. Cinderella is technically, just in case
we I'll throw some
trivia out there. Going to Los Angeles County, the Disney Animation Studios are where? Burbank, California, which is in what? Los Angeles County, which is also in Los Angeles County, UCLA. So there you go. Cinderella, UCLA. It all ties together, man.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine if USC won and it was just like the LA showdown? We hadn't seen something like that since like Earl Anthony and Frank Allen in the bowling playoffs, you know? That's just
Earl Anthony. We had an Earl Anthony reference. Wow. if you're old enough to have been watching, you know, bowling at the age of 7 back in 1982, you remember a guy named Earl Anthony who used to be a professional bowler.
That's he was good. School, Nico. Wow, he was good.
He was really good. Yes, he was. That's old school.
Nico with the deep
Never
pull.
Heard of him.
Nico with a deep trivia deep pick pull. Right there. Nice. That's a deep pull right there.
Yeah, bowling's not a sport. It's a lifestyle. So just make sure you know that.
Hey, then that means golf is too.
No, because in bowling, perfection is attainable. In golf, it is not.
Now, we do have some familia that with USC ties.
Yes, we do.
How do we feel about that?
Hey, you know, familia is familia. You know, where we feel bad for SC
if they
losing,
die, they die.
Feel good for UCLA winning. You know, we support everyone.
I would have been excited for it. I got more points in the bracket because USC lost, so I'll take it.
There you go.
No, well, Gonzaga looks like a different team.
They're like NBA, like G League NBA team, and everybody else is like kids college.
UCLA's beaten them before, so.
Exactly.
They haven't lost in like a year, Gonzaga. Their last loss was sometime in 2020. I think it might have been in 2019. I think it was like December 2019 is the last time Gonzaga lost. Something crazy like
that's
that.
That's
ridiculous. It's
incredible.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, we're talking PC, which is pre-COVID. You know, trademark by Nico.
Pre-COVID, yes. That was 2019 PC. 2019 PC, yes.
Yeah, we very much like to be PC.
Yes, there you go.
And post-C, too.
Yeah, post-COVID, too.
We would love to be post-COVID right now, yes.
and the other thing that's post-COVID, baseball is back, boys.
Yeah. So. Oh, I can't wait to get down to Dodger Stadium. You guys watching it on TV? Like the way the pavilions look, it's just like different, man. They painted them and they did some weird kind of construction. I can't wait to get out there and check it out, man.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. I mean, I'm gonna wait till the, you know, everybody's people are vaccinated and we're a little more in the herd mentality, but I'm gonna be watching. It's so cool. The Dodgers get their defense. I mean, obviously they're starting on the road in Colorado, but opening day at Dodger Stadium is gonna be a week from Friday. So that's gonna be off the hook.
Thin air in Colorado and the Dodgers are hitting right now. So we're gonna make some balls fly, man. Let's go.
Four game series start off the season. And it's just great. You got the defense of the world championship. I mean, so many guys. I mean, Mookie Betts is in his prime. You know, Cody Bellinger
is getting the wow. Yeah,
Corey Seager is just like an absolute Beast. Hey,
pitching staff, right? Talk about it, George.
Trevor Bauer, man. I mean, add Trevor Bauer to Clayton Kershaw and Walker Buehler. I mean, ideal meal. Just, I mean, you know, you still got to win the games and everything like that. But man, that is just formidable. I mean, you're not going to win it on paper, but these guys are studs. And you know, watch out for Dustin May. And hey, our compadre Julio Urias. Raza, right there. He's going to be on. He is going to be a stud.
That's the guy. Is he going to take over for Jansen? What's going to happen with Jansen?
He's in the rotation.
No longer the.
He's in the rotation. Yeah,
let's go. I didn't know that. So, hey, pleasantly surprised. That's awesome.
We're gonna love watching him. We're gonna be hopefully 5-6 innings. And then just dominate. No, it's gonna be fun.
El Toro, or we gotta come up with a name, right? There's gotta be, what do you call like the calf?
El Torito.
Boom, there you go.
It's already trademarked.
Oh, dang it.
What about Little Mouse?
We should name a restaurant with that name.
Oh, that's right. El Raton.
But that has like negative connotations of like
Ratonito.
Ratoncito.
You rat out people. Like, you don't want to be a rat's not a good name. you tell on people.
You can call Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse. Yeah, that's. I think the Angels have all the dibs on.
Hey, it's all good.
You know, that was voted the best, or they ranked it the number one stadium out of all the stadiums.
Dodger Stadium?
No, Angels.
What? Why? Because it has like big.
When they compare
rocks
the food to everything else, and the seats and the price, it was like the best value.
Maybe value wise.
I ripped up. It was a Sports Illustrated. I ripped it up too. I was all like, "That's booty."
I don't know.
I'm like.
I have to go check it out myself.
However, the Dodgers are super expensive to eat anything, but it's a hell of a stadium.
Oh, it's still Dodger Stadium.
It's one of the oldest right now.
Yes.
It's antique, right? Is that what you call it? Make it more expensive?
No. Vintage.
Vintage. That's right.
That's the word you want is vintage.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, only.
And it's retro. Retro, vintage.
The only older stadiums are Wrigley Field in Chicago and Fenway Park in Boston. And they did a lot of renovations. So hopefully fans get to really enjoy it and just really enjoy winning the World Series and then do it again so that we could have a parade.
Let's do it again.
Oh, man.
We should actually just have a parade like after COVID's done. Just like, hey, remember we won the World Series back then? Like, we're just going to have the parade now. Like, just, the PC parade. Let's go. Post-COVID parade.
Maybe have the parade like, you know, during the All-Star break or something like that. And just, get the guys out and really start feeling it. And,
yeah,
you know, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then you could get Kike back him to come back for a little bit of the.
We're past that, Georgie. We're past him.
Hey, you know what? When the Red Sox won the World Series in 2004, Derek Lowe signed and he won the clinch game. Derek Lowe signed with the Dodgers the next year. He wasn't pitching on the day they were doing the ring ceremony. They actually let him fly to Boston.
That's Derek cool. Lowe is not a good example.
All right, we'll give you
never that. Been a fan of that guy. So
I'll give you that.
I've been playing fantasy baseball way too long.
I will say that Los Angelitos, the Angels, they're going to be pretty good. I mean, obviously they have Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon. And then Shohei Ohtani. Maybe he's
we'll see if he can finally show up.
Yeah, maybe his pitching, maybe this year he'll do the pitching. Mike Trout predicted 10 home runs. I'm sorry, 10 or more wins and 30 home
from
runs.
Ohtani?
Wow. From Ohtani.
Well, right now Ohtani's got a blister, so we'll see if he gets back.
Game over.
Let's hope.
That's 15-day DL, right?
Get better. And we're not hearing anything from Nico on the Giants. So any thoughts, Nico?
I heard they're going to play this year, so you know.
There you go.
Good, mijo. Nico, you're going to be the correspondent for the Giants for Los Gigantes. So we'll.
Nico, how they do? They played
just a bit outside. There you go.
Well, hey, let's get in some chisme.
Chisme.
So 17 games, boys. We got another Sunday of football.
17.
I got an email from the Chargers because I'm a season ticket holder, and they said, "Oh, congratulations! There's an extra game. I think we're going to be playing the Minnesota Vikings at home." And it's a free ticket for me. So I'm like, yay.
Wow. Whoa. If only you can bring a guest. And if you can bring a guest, that'd be great.
I got six seats, so I can take a lot of guests.
Boom. I'm there. I'm in the house. I'm in the house.
Bamo knows we're going to be doing a show from SoFi Stadium, apparently.
Hopefully tailgate. Hopefully tailgate. Yes. But I haven't heard anything on that.
Yes, sir.
But going back to the schedule, how does this change fantasy football? Are we going to add an extra week, so it's 14 regular season weeks? Are we adding another playoff week? What are we doing here?
No, it's 14. I would say 14 weeks, and then championship in week 17.
And then now, do you think there's more of a possibility that week 17, which is the second to last game for every team, you see more people sit? Therefore, you have championship games with players who led a team the whole way that all of a sudden sit because, you know what I mean? Because now that there's more games, that means teams have a bigger chance of having a bigger lead and having a bye sooner than later.
Well, considering the fact that only one team is going to get a bye, so it's going to
one team overall or one team?
Yeah, only one team in each conference. So I would still hazard to guess that everybody's going to be competitive. And a lot of people are going to sit on week 18.
When's the regular season? Is this still the weekend after Labor Day?
Yes.
Okay.
They didn't lose a preseason game?
They lost one preseason game, yeah.
Yeah, so they're down to three. I still think this is a step toward going to 18 games. And, you know, and then having the Super Bowl President's Day weekend. I still think, but who knows? I mean, what, this was the when they increased the schedule to 16 games with 1978. So what is it? Almost 40 years.
So does this mean now that the Super Bowl is like a week before President's Day? Is that how this is all like kind of playing out? How convenient. So always
isn't that when the NBA
game,
pro NBA is?
The All-Star game. You're talking about the All-Star game?
Yeah.
It will be, but you know they'll move it around. They're not going to go
money
up against
talks.
The Super Bowl.
Oh, and Georgia,
what did you think of this whole? Do you think the Super Bowl is eventually going to be on President's Day? Like they're gearing towards that.
I really think they're going to
President's
do that.
Day weekend. Yeah, that's.
I think that's a heck of a. What do you think?
It'd be a brilliant
heck of an idea or a brilliant conspiracy you thought of. I think that's brilliant. We need that Monday off.
Yeah, the Monday off without. It's a Monday off. That's already a Monday off.
Yes, exactly.
Just make it happen. Just plug and play.
Take advantage of it.
Yes.
Well, I saw this report one time that the United States loses over $1 billion with a B in productivity the day after the Super Bowl because so many people call out
and
sick.
They sell so much ibuprofen and aspirin and bottled water and Gatorade. For the recovery.
You'd think that menudo would be
I'm sure it is.
Everybody, you know how guacamole for the Super Bowl, the avocados or you know,
this
go
is
nuts?
Like a menudo. Imagine that menudo commercial, like canned menudo, like for tomorrow morning, dude. They would sell out.
Vámonos.
That's what they should do.
Vámonos.
No one should sell canned menudo.
Yeah, please.
I mean, I'm just saying, as a money play, somebody will. If they did it during the Super Bowl, I'm just saying that's a money play. People will buy it. It's the magical cure. Talk to all your Latino friends. This stuff works.
You know, today I had an Italian dish that had the tripe, and it was a very fancy dish. And I saw it on that CNN, you know, traveling through Italy, and I guess it was something that came out of the ghettos. That kind of
Stanley Tucci. Yes, exactly. Yeah, nothing goes to waste. Exactly.
Nothing goes to waste, but. It's like a, you know, a very exotic, you know, and it's a very popular meal and it tasted great. They did it kind of like slivers, like you would thick pasta or something like that. So,
oh, wow.
It was unique, but I still like my menudo. So
there you go.
Oh, man. I will say it's still Tommy's takes care of it at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Bingo.
What menudo does the next morning. So
bingo. There you go. That works too. In a pinch.
But I tell you,
nothing works as good as a nap. That's the only thing that cures the hangover for me.
Yep.
That good, and coconut water. That's good the magical, sleep. That's the magical thing. Coconut water is magic for all you out there. If you haven't tried it yet, coconut water is magical.
But hey, you know what? 17th game, that's more opportunity. That's another game of fantasy. And I just, I think another daily fantasy opportunities.
Daily fantasy, exactly. Yeah.
You know, Primo Greggy Greg is going to go nuts with us. So he's going to have to do another week. So it's going to be awesome. Yeah. And And, you know, and big trade. So, you know, it happened. This happened on Friday. Two trades happened where the 49ers traded up to the number three spot from number 12. The Dolphins traded from 3 to 12 and then jumped back up to 6. So now they're number 6 pick and the Eagles are now in the 12 pick. So it really looks like the 49ers are going for a quarterback. Trade up to that point.
Yes. Yeah. No. And to your point, I saw a stat today. I think it was on ESPN. I think that they did a study and I think it was, or some, you know, some research, the last like 10 times, I think they said that teams traded up for a top three pick, like 9 of them have been a quarterback, and only one team, like in 2008 or something, like picked a defensive lineman or something. But yes, to your point, like 99% of the time, if you're trading up to a top three pick, it's going to be a quarterback. So I don't have any reason to believe that this would be any different.
No. And Nico, are all the ladies in San Francisco going to be crushed if Jimmy G is no longer?
Well, no, you know, it's funny. I watched draft day and see what Kevin Costner was doing, just like for this one. But no, and it's funny. I didn't realize that Jimmy G had the nickname of Jimmy Porno Jimmy or something like that. Because I guess he showed up at somewhere in LA with a porn star as his date or something like that.
Yeah,
I did not know that. You know, I didn't know how to think about that. You know, so very intrigued. I still got to look.
I'll tell you what. It makes me feel like he's overcompensating. And that's how I've been feeling his whole career. So
yeah, I mean, everyone's got a, you know, being the porn star, it's like I feel left out, you know, so I got to
feel left out.
I'm gonna have to study so, you know, figure out and see who's out there. So
to me, that's showing a lot of confidence. So right. That's all I'll say about that.
I don't know, man. I think there's more confidence taking Rosie O'Donnell to a party.
No, but to answer your question, yeah, I mean, it's funny because he's popular there. They like him there. And, I mean, he just – and they said it. I mean, he's a good quarterback. He's just hurt all the time. So
not good enough. They need to quit. I hate hearing about him. And I feel like finally they take the step in the right direction, and the fans just need to take one for the team.
Well, it's kind of like Kevin Durant. He's always hurt, but are you going to get rid of him? No.
Yeah, they did.
Well, no, he left. I mean, he's
– we had to get rid of Rivers, and we won.
Well, Rivers was old. They call him Old Man River.
You know? Yeah, and Jimmy G still can't put up numbers like Old Man Rivers.
Well, they said that every time he's quarterback, pretty much every time they win, and when he's not, they almost lose. So it's got to tell you something.
Yeah, but he only plays half the time. So that's the tough part. I mean, I think I saw a stat that he's played 23 of the last 42 games that the 49ers since he's been traded to the 49ers. It's like, ooh, wow. That hurts. I mean, it's different injuries. You know, one was a knee and one was an ankle, so they're not related. But I say it again and again. The best ability is availability. So I think they moved up. They're going to get a quarterback. Maybe they'll trade him. Maybe they'll let him walk in free agency. But it really looks like the first two picks are going to be Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. So maybe it's Justin Fields from Ohio State. Maybe there's a lot of talk from Daniel Jeremiah and Chris Sims that Mac Jones from Alabama is going to be the pick.
Yeah,
that's him. That would be pretty incredible. But hopefully, guys, familia, you're checking out I did an interview with our buen amigo Jordan Bohink out in España, where he's been scouting for the NFL draft, and we did quarterbacks yesterday. So let's check that out. And you know, we both like Mac Jones. We both are kind of a little lukewarm to Trey Lance and both very hot on Justin Fields. So it's going to be fun. The draft is going to be fun, but the Dolphins, I think now are positioned to get a big time wide receiver or maybe tight end Kyle Pitts right there at that point. Ooh, can you imagine
Pitts what Tua is going to do quick? Pitts won't last out of the top 10. No, there's no chance.
I don't think he goes past the Dolphins. I really don't think he goes past the Dolphins.
Dolphins can't pass. If he falls in their lap, they have to pick him. They're building up that offense. They would just have to. He's like a Megatron type. He's a beast. That guy's going to do very well.
It'd be Tua, you know, kind of feeling like he was back in Miami. I mean, back in Alabama.
And we see last year, how ready for the NFL action these wide receivers are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. They're doing all the right things. And it's like, and every year it's like one more year of information, knowledge, training. You know, they're just, you know, they're learning how to prepare for this, for the NFL. There's enough information out there. How do I prepare? How do I, you know, what drills do I do? How, you know, what's the best way to get up to speed? And gosh, you know, we talked about it, you know, the last year's rookie class was just like insane, you know, and there's more. You know,
as far as the wide receivers are. Yeah. And I think everybody pretty much, because even the running backs and Jonathan Taylor and Justin Herbert.
Yeah. Yeah. Across the board. Everyone really did. Everybody. Yes. Hitting the ground running now. There's this whole new level of just of information out there that are getting these kids ready a lot quicker than back in the day.
Now, how much of that is a surprise shock to the system to the current NFL players? And that's why Burrow and Herbert are doing well, and later they'll do less good compared to tradition, no, these guys are good.
Like tradition, legacy, behavior. What information did Aaron Rodgers have when he got to the Packers? Whatever it was that Brett Favre
took him a while before he started.
Yeah, but but today there's so much information. I mean, you can go on Instagram, you can go on, you know, and everybody's a millionaire, so people aren't afraid to talk to you and they don't care. Like, what is? Yeah, I'll tell you what I know, bro. Like, you know, I don't have a problem with that. Or they share trainers. Well,
look at Peyton Manning's first year. He didn't even have a winning record. People weren't talking about him being MVP or anything like that.
Right.
It's just different nowadays. They're ready
completely
for
different. Yes. Right away.
I still think to prepare.
I think
there's a lot more similarity between the college game and the pro game. And so that's a great point, especially in the college passing game. I think you're really seeing advances. You're seeing the great quarterback play at that point. And really, I mean, there's so much talk. I mean, I hear Daniel Jim Ryan and Bucky Brooks on their podcast talking so much about the 7-on-7 7-on-7 drills and competitions that they do all the way down to the high school level. And the players are real, and the quarterbacks and the receivers are really advanced based on, you know, compared to where they were 20 years ago. And so that's what I'm saying. Big difference.
Aaron Rodgers coming up, he got nothing.
Yeah.
You sit there. Here's a clipboard, buddy. And, you know, I'll share some things with you. Maybe if I want to. Okay. You know, like, you know, that's it. And you just stand there. And like you said, the college game to the pro game, very different. So it used to be a huge jump from the college game to the pro game. And now it's like, it's kind of a blur. They've blurred the line big time.
Especially when you're like going from like a, you know, like an Alabama or LSU last year, which were basically NFL teams, because exactly. I mean, how many first round picks were coming out of those teams? Yes. So, I'm pumped about the draft. I mean, we're a month away from the draft, and it's going to be, I mean, we're recording this on the 30th. It's going to be awesome. There's going to be, I think the quarterbacks are going to go early, and it's just, and there's going to be tons of receivers going and some running backs going in the second and third round. So it's going to be fun. And another thing, guys, there's another sense of normalcy coming. It's looking like OTAs are going to be back. So the teams can start kind of having a normal off season, having in-person OTAs. So the off season programs looks like they're not going to have to be virtual. So another option for them. So that's good. That's good news, boys. That is good news.
Yeah, no more cardboard cutouts. I mean, what are you going to do with all
those? Oh, you know, yeah, exactly. Auction them off and have the money go to charity. Please, por favor.
There you go. You know? There you go.
I can put them in my car and drive the carpool lane, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
So one last move, and it's kind of like an underrated move, but it's a lineman move that could kind of move the needle a little bit. Austin Blythe leaves the Rams, and they're I think they were the number three offensive line according to Pro Football Focus this year. Left there, and he went to the Chiefs. So what was it? Hey, they're keeping the king upright. They're taking care of the king, protecting the king. So
got to do it.
Great move. Great move. I mean, he's a really good, he's a really solid center, still young at age 29. It's a great move for them, bad move for the Rams. So hopefully they've got some other guys coming in behind them, but I mean, this guy was playing at a high level. So big.
Yeah, because Stafford needed somebody to, you know, to block for him.
He needs someone.
So is Stafford a top 10 quarterback still?
Oh, I think if he had a good line, he would be. I think he's there.
You know what the line is now. He just lost his center. So
It could be, I mean, that's the one position that they lost. So maybe they, you know, they're able to, they got some solid backups in there, but yes, that's still a big,
but hey, what do we know about rankings?
What do we know about rankings? Yeah. Yes. Who wants a do-over? Who wants a do-over?
I feel like I wasn't off on mine too much looking at it. You guys, however, have some reaches.
Well, let me ask. Hey, Trophy, who knows about it?
You do. That's because you read our rankings.
Fantasy football trophy says that
You took our information and you listened to all of our podcasts and you use all of our knowledge and that's why you won.
For example, I had Josh Allen in the top five.
So did
Hector. Hector had him in the top five.
I did not. So yeah, that's the quarterbacks. Yeah, I did not. I had him at number 10. So I screwed him up. You guys had him in a good spot. I mean, obviously he ended up number one overall among all fantasy quarterbacks. I mean, you know, the thing with him, it was, I don't know if anyone, none of us expected the number one overall, but what a huge jump, almost 1,500 yards more passing. And 17 more touchdowns. His running was still great. He had nine rushing touchdowns in 2019, and he had eight in 2020. So
I think it's because their running game sucked for the Buffalo Bills that they had to lean on Josh Allen for everything, and he just delivered.
Yes, Casey Kasem would say, at the number one spot, we've got Josh
Allen. Oh, my God. Casey Kasem reference. We're going away, man. Nico just brought out the time machine, bro. Wow. Like,
hey, you know what?
Casey Kasem, America's top 40.
Familia, you know, we report to a vast audience. And, you know, I think we need to sit there and touch base with everybody.
Earl Anthony, Casey Kasem. Like, this is amazing. Like, I'm back in 1982 right now. This is amazing.
Oh, that's beautiful. Keep your feet on the ground. Keep your feet on the ground, but keep reaching for the stars. So.
That's right. And as a quick reference to all you out there, Casey Kasem was the voice of which popular cartoon character?
American Top 40.
Shaggy.
Oh, that's right. I didn't know.
As you say, I don't even know who that is.
That's right. little trivia there. A little 80s trivia. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm kind of old. One time I said, can you play some JT? And he goes, I don't do Justin Timberlake. No, James Taylor. Like, oh, you are old. Like, I know.
If they don't, just don't let him call you Boomer, Primo. Just don't let
Boomer.
Him call you
Primo. Okay, Boomer.
So, you know, Josh Allen, I mean, I don't think anyone can expect a jump ahead that like the one he had last year. I don't think anyone is, you know, some people are talking about it a little bit with Daniel Jones, but I think he has to, I don't.
Daniel Jones needs a lot.
I think he needs a lot. I mean, I expect him to be better because he's going to have better talent around him. But again, I think that Josh Allen one was kind of like a, you know, a rare occurrence, not quite like Haley's Comet, but maybe, you know, once a decade.
Pretty rare.
So do you think he's not going to be top five next year?
Oh, I think he'll be top five. I don't think he'll be top one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fluke, like that Tom Brady guy. What's he going to do?
So will Josh Allen, will Lamar Jackson be back in the top three?
Well, let's see. You know, we had him, our consensus had him at number two, and he finished number 10. Yeah. He finished number 10. The thing is, he's still going to run. He's still going to run. I mean, 1,000 yards back-to-back years. First time in NFL history a quarterback's done that. And is he going to pass enough? I mean, he, you know, in 2019 he threw 401 times. Last year he threw 376 times in 15 games. So I think we'd all love to see his passing volume go up. I mean, if he were to throw, you know, 500 balls, how different is that? But you know, he could put up like Russell Wilson type of numbers throwing around 500 times.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody feeling like they could be coming back? I mean, they did just sign Sammy Watkins. Is that exciting?
Ricky's not excited about that. Tell us, Rick, how unexcited you are about that.
For who though? Who just got Sammy Watkins?
Sammy Watkins, the Ravens.
Baltimore.
That doesn't mean anything.
That's exactly what we were expecting, people.
Nothing.
That was like, that's exactly what like, I was expecting to hear from Rick.
Why don't you tell me that they got, who's the Dez Bryant? They got Dez Bryant too. No one cares. That means nothing fantasy-wise or anything.
It doesn't
mean anything. I'll tell you right now, Aaron Rodgers and Tannehill are both going to do five spots less than they did this year.
Ooh, interesting.
Easily.
All right.
So you had, we had Rodgers finish number three overall. And
hell of a year for him.
Oh, incredible. But I mean, he jumped 22 touchdown passes from 26 in 2019 all the way to 48 this last year. That was where the big jump was. That's where he went. And he was in top 10 the previous year. I think he was exactly top 10. But yeah, I mean, it's.
Yeah. Well, how many games are they adding this year?
One.
So the thing about it is, it's like that one game is enough to like all of a sudden the records will be start getting broken again. Everything from running to passing.
Oh, yeah. That's a great point. That is a great point.
And that just
sucks. Start getting shattered left
asterisk,
and right.
Asterisk.
Come on. Exactly. Everything.
Yeah, because the points per game, like no one cares about that. It's like, what were your total yards? 7,000 yards passing. That's amazing. You're amazing.
7,000 yards.
No one's going to get 1,500 yards in one game. Anyways.
But yeah, you know what? I think
Tom Brady will. He's a god.
I think a lot of fantasy analysts are expecting that, you know, Aaron Rodgers to come back down to earth. But I mean, think about it. I mean, would you take him at 30? You know, let's say you cut the difference, and he ends up with like 37 touchdown passes. That's still a pretty damn good year. Not necessarily enough to, you know, maybe it'll still keep him in. It'll probably still keep him in the top 10. But yeah, it's. I think the thing that we missed with Aaron Rodgers was the thinking that his second year in the same offense, that he was going to take a step forward. So I think that was the thing. And with Tannehill, did anybody really think he was going to be able to repeat the year that he had the year before? I mean, he was over 70% completion rate that year.
Yeah, I put him at number 10.
I'm raising my hand.
I'm the only one of us three that had Ryan Tannehill in the top 10.
I knew he was going to be garbage.
I knew he was. I had him, and then I gave him away, basically. So
you gave him away.
Yeah, you just cut him.
I had to because he had the same buy as Josh Allen. Yeah, so I had to. So I was like, what do I do? Three quarterbacks.
Ricky, you had him 23. I had him 19. So
I still think that's how good he was.
I had him 10, and I win that one.
And he finished. He finished at number 7.
I wouldn't feel proud about winning something with the name Ryan Tannehill on it.
Hey man, you watch.
I'm more proud of getting Kamara second.
Go for it. So yeah, let's go to the running backs.
All right, bingo. So we all picked him number 6 overall. Our family members decided to pick him 6 or even more down the list for their running backs because I was able to get him 13th pick
in
overall.
In the second round, we know, Rick.
So where do you put him this year? I mean, let's be honest. Last year,
great
six
question.
Isn't that
wow.
bad. It was Georgie's fault. Let's all blame Georgie. Georgie was the one that came out with the report on this channel. Saying that Kamara had an
epidural. Messed up his back. He tweaked his back.
He had an epidural. That was the report. And he said, anytime I hear about a player getting a needle in their back, I don't know about getting them. And I felt like all the family heard that. Because
nobody wanted him.
So this year, with no report like that, but the big thing for Kamara, we don't know who his quarterback is. So
it's going to be Winston.
Are we still going to put him at number 6 pretty much? Does he not retain a top 3 spot like he had the previous years?
I think they
have the same line, right? At George, they have the same line pretty much.
Yeah. Then Michael Thomas
same line,
is still
but
there.
We saw what happened when Breeze was in compared to when Hill was in.
Yeah, but it may not even be Hill. We shall see. I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting.
You pick Elliott or Kamara? Who goes first?
Oh, Kamara.
I'd pick Kamara over Elliott. Dallas has some things going
Barkley
on.
Barkley or Kamara?
Barkley's hurt still.
Yeah, that was a tough one. He was my main guy. He got hurt right away. And I thought, I'll never win the trophy. But you know what, boys and girls?
Well, guys, look at all these running backs. Look at these running backs. Christian McCaffrey, injured. Saquon Barkley injured. Ezekiel Elliott, his quarterback got injured, so his year was just lost. Joe Mixon, did he get injured or did he just suck all year?
Yeah, he got injured. He missed.
Miles Sanders injured. So many injuries in the top 10, 12 running backs. I feel like if you don't have one of the top five, don't worry about running backs because they're all going to break down eventually. Just invest in the handcuffs.
Yeah. And there was guys like Miles Sanders, like these people just woke up the last few weeks. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Where was he? You know,
right. Totally.
Montgomery, same thing. It's like, what? Because they were on my team and they were like almost going to be benched.
Where did we have Montgomery? He's way
24.
I had him at 26.
Yeah.
Made him 24. But you know what, Nico, you got him late. You got him like in the fifth or sixth round, probably because we ranked him so low. And then all of a sudden, nobody was looking for him to do
that. That was like zero confidence in Trubisky and like the whole.
Yeah. You know who we had zero confidence in was Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah.
So I feel happy about us there because that guy didn't do much.
No.
However, in other leagues, he was drafted first round, second round.
Oh, yeah. What was it?
I got him at number seven.
Overall. Yeah, you picked him. Yeah, by that point, by the time we drafted, it was crazy. Yeah,
this was early. This was early prognostication. By the time drafts came up, he was hot. He was a hot ticket.
So David Montgomery was ended up being Nico. I think he was your league winner because he was just he was set up late in the season. I mean, a lot of that production. Yeah, got him to number four.
He was doing 100 a week, every week. It was guaranteed. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
He was just phenomenal and catching passes out of the backfield. I don't know if anybody's going to put him at number four.
Well, who's going to quarterback in Chicago? Who do you think?
Andy Dalton.
No, he's a backup. Get someone better. We'll see.
We're going to see.
Bigger thing is who on our list is going to do better in running back. Who's upgraded their stock in your eyes? I think Eckler, even though I had him at eight, dude's got, if he's healthy, he's going to be a top five running back. That's my opinion.
Eckler is definitely one. You know, I think Melvin Gordon, because he doesn't have a lot of competition, is going to take a step forward.
Is he still in Denver?
Yeah. And
you don't know where Melvin Gordon is, Rick?
No, I'm just surprised Georgie would say that if Melvin Gordon's still in Denver,
because he's going to be a true bell cow. They don't really,
because he's got no Philip Lindsay, but he's still bell cow on a crappy team. So let's just remember that. It's like the Jets. Ooh, the bell cow for that team is
Nadia. They don't have a bell cow.
Exactly.
Cam Akers is going to be a guy who's going to be a bell cow this year. So he's going to be different. So, and I think, we didn't have him very high on this one. Aaron Jones is still going to be the guy. So
to definitely stay in the top five.
A lot of guys.
I mean, why not? He's been consistent.
And one of the guys that we didn't have very high because he was a rookie and he was going to be sharing time with Marlon Mack, Jonathan Taylor. We had him at 29 and he finished number six.
We were crazy. You know what? I might have smoked too much that day when we ranked it. But however, let me just make one good point. Austin Eckler does have Aaron Jones center, his Pro Bowl center.
Yes.
So let's see how much that actually matters.
Well, it usually does. It helps the running back. It helps the runners, the interior linemen, the center and the two guards. They're the ones who are doing a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to the running backs, kind of those in-between tackles. So Eckler's going to be good. And yeah, I think it's not just the running, but I think some of the targets that Hunter Henry leaves behind are going to go to Austin Eckler. And he is definitely going to be a
blow up year, right?
I can't wait for us. I mean, we're gonna do our first, you know, the next rankings exercise. We'll do this after the draft so that we could kind of factor in the rookies. I mean, I think Jonathan Taylor's performance definitely showed us that we need to keep an eye on the rookies that could blow up, that have backfields to themselves. We're going to see. I would say one guy to really keep an eye on for next year is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, though. So, El Aire. Just because the fact that they really still haven't done anything with that offense. I mean, with
they got to juice with, him for with the little money that he's up for, because they got to basically they lost all their money. So now they can only afford certain players for a certain amount of time. For example, they just got the current center they have for 1 year. So they got to juice CEH for as much as they can, because if CEH wants a big contract, they're just going to let him go as soon as he does, because he's still on the rookie contract. So it's like juice him, because Le'Veon Bell is not going to give you anything. So hopefully they can do it. I just think it for a lot of people out there. I'm not sure. Have you guys heard that a lot of hate against KC right now? People saying, they're losing their line. They're not going to be the same team next year. I feel like they're still going to be number one.
Andy Reid's involved in the decision making. I don't have any worries.
Do you still think that they're going to be Super Bowl contenders?
Yes.
As long as they have Patrick Mahomes there, yes.
Yeah.
So no matter that their line broke down, nothing.
Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to replace them with a bunch of JV guys. You know, any NFL teams are, you know, it's all strategy. It's all strategic. They're making moves that they think are going to be helpful to them, even if the general public is like, what are you doing? Like, I think they're smart enough. You know, these guys have been to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row, or is it three now? Two, three years in a row now?
Two years in a row, almost made it three.
I think they know what they're doing.
It's going to be interesting this year, because I feel like a lot of the trade talk, a lot of the cheese has been about linemen and where these big linemen are going and where they're shifting. And yet they're not the big names like, Keenan Allen or, you know, the big names you're used to hearing. So I'm interested to seeing if we see that on the field. You know what I mean?
Totally. Well, one of the things that the Chiefs did add, they added Kyle Long, Howie Long's son, and they added another guard. So they really built out their guards, and they're getting back their All-Pro guard who went to Canada as a doctor to fight COVID.
I remember that story that they're talking about that.
Why do you go back to Canada? We could have used him here. I'm sure.
Well, he's only licensed in Canada. I mean, he's a medical resident in Canada. I mean, he's totally MD, but he's coming back to the Chiefs. And you know what? This is a draft that they could draft a couple of offensive linemen. Here's one thing to remember about Andy Reid. As much as he's an innovative offensive line, at his core, he was an offensive line coach. That was his first job.
Bingo. So
he is always going to
he's
going to make sure he's got a line going into the season. So I'm not worried about I think there's a lot of tackles.
I didn't know he was an offensive line coach, but I could have guessed it.
Well, he's an offensive lineman. So gotta love that. Well, hey, let's close things out with the wide receivers. So
all right,
I think the one guy we were too high on was Juju. We had him at number 10. He finished number 16.
That's not that much,
but
not too big of a dig. And
we didn't know about. I mean, I don't think any of us even ranked Deontay Johnson. Yeah, Deontay. I think that's
the bigger.
I didn't even rank Deontay. I don't even have him on my list.
No, we didn't have him. I think we liked him as a potential for the sophomore year jump.
Yeah.
I don't think we expected him to get 144 targets.
I felt like Marquise Brown was my biggest oops. I was so high on him. Even though when we did our rankings, I wasn't. I was so high on him. I drafted him in so many leagues.
By the end, we were sky high on him.
Yeah.
Sky high on him. So.
And with the one guy we weren't sky high on who pretty much tore up the league was Stephon Diggs. And we should have known. We should have known that he had a good quarterback, and he was basically, no matter what, he had a better quarterback than what he had at Minnesota.
Right? The trophy, who knew that? You did, Nico.
Yeah, that's right. I thought you left already. So I'm surprised that none of us put him in the top 10.
That is a big surprise now that you mention it.
You know what? Yeah, I think that was a little bit. People, you know, there's so much talk about the wide receivers changing.
Right?
Yeah, the wide receivers changing, and I think we're all, you know, he was number 14 the previous year. I think we just kind of were comfortable putting him there, and that was bad. We should get our. We should have one of the nuns.
That's my mulligan too. You had him at 3, Georgie. Julio Jones.
I had Julio Jones ahead of Davante Adams. What a pendejo am I?
What?
Jeez. And I love Davante Adams. I'm gonna get a Davante Adams T-shirt for next season. So
we were high on Godwin too, guys.
Yeah.
We all had Juju at number 10. That's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. We all had Juju at number 10. I think we were all buying into the previous, not 2019, but 2018, when he had like the 100 plus receptions and 1,400 yards.
Where's Deontay Johnson on this list?
He's not there.
I see James Washington. Oh, man, we missed out. We sucked, guys.
This was early, though. This was early. This was a very early.
This had to have been like, yes.
Yeah, one of our very first.
This was like May. This was like middle of May.
Yeah, May.
It's weird seeing our top 20 and seeing names that were irrelevant, like DJ Chark, T.Y. Hilton, Emmanuel Sanders.
Was this even before the draft? Because I don't even really see.
Oh, this is.
No, this is post-draft. On here.
This is post-draft.
Wow. We put no maybe rookies in here. There's like no Justin Jefferson. There's no like T. Higgins here. There's like not even like way down the list. Even on yours, George, because you're way more thorough than we are. And
Justin Jefferson, 44.
I'm at 44. There you go.
Yeah, that's
– Wow, you had a long list. This fool.
What a pendejo.
You got guys like Lockett.
You got CeeDee Lamb.
You know what? I'm very proud of my number 50 pick. I only had 42 picks, but I made sure to put number 50 AJ.
And that was actually too high. That was actually too high. I think he was like number 68 or something like that. So,
garbage.
I think one of the things that we learned from Diggs is don't be afraid of a wide receiver changing teams, getting to a good quarterback. So, you know, that Will Fuller, Kenny Golladay, those guys, I think let's not be afraid of what they're going to do. And I think one of the things that we learned from Allen Robinson, no matter who's the quarterback, that man is going to be a man.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where he goes.
ABC.
BBD.
But yeah, the guy's going to be around 100 receptions and, 1,100, 1,200 yards. I mean, he's just a beast. Mm-hmm. And so even if it's Andy Dalton, I think we're putting him in. We got to put him in the top 10.
Yeah,
Michael Thomas going to be top three?
Ooh, no, but I doubt it.
If it's Winston,
I'm looking at him in the top 10. And actually, no matter if it's
garbage time.
Hold on, not even top five. So Michael Thomas next year is not a first-round draft pick.
Oh, yeah.
Correct. He's not a first-round draft pick. I'm looking at him more like in the late second, early third, to the third.
That round. Late.
He could be a bargain. He could end up being
a bargain. He's going to be behind Devontae Adams. He's going to be behind Tyreek. He's going to be behind DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
He's got the biggest drop.
Well, yeah. He's losing Drew Brees.
Ricky, okay, I'm going to give you the quandary. Michael Thomas or Keenan Allen?
Shut up. I'll tell you what, you got to pick Thomas, but you know Keenan's going to put numbers up.
I'm going to take your man.
I'd probably take Keenan over Michael Thomas.
I would. You guys are taking Thomas all the way.
I'm
telling you, no. You know what? When push comes to shove, when you guys are given the option and it's Thomas or Keenan, you're going to say, holy crap, how's Thomas still there? So I don't want to hear it.
Like a six-pack bet.
Ooh, beer bets.
talking about beer bets.
It doesn't matter because Michael Thomas is going to get drafted well before Keenan Allen.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a prediction here. The one team that the wide receivers were supposed to do a lot was the Arizona team. None of them did any good. But I think
What are you talking about? DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, no, he didn't do as well as he could have. But I think,
this guy.
Arizona is
going. You say that? You know why? Because he had an Arizona wide receiver that did poo-poo. That's why Nico's like that. He's bitter. But I had DeAndre Hopkins in all my leagues, and I traded him for Kamara in another one. So kudos to me. But Hopkins did awesome. The end of the year, he did kind of taper off. Right. But overall, he had an amazing year. So
I'll pick Arizona to win the conference. I mean, I think they're going to be that good.
The conference is a little shook right now. Russell Wilson kind of I don't know what's going on over there. Big black cloud over there right now. San Fran, there's nothing there. And then over in LA, it's a brand new team that just got rid of one of their star centers. So really, that you're right, Nico. I think you're right about Arizona. And you being a San Fran fan, I'm surprised you said that, and I'm proud of you.
Yeah. You guys were talking about Seattle. You know, we had DK Metcalf, number 19.
And that was dumb. I know this was an early
I had him 15, prediction. So I feel
I had him late, and by the time the draft rolled around, like, I couldn't wait to pick DK Metcalf. So I'm surprised I had him at 21.
I remember it's so funny drafting with Hector. If you haven't done it, in the all the fans, you need to see it. It takes 10 minutes a pick, no matter what. But to see his face, look at the board, and then look at his list, and then just thinking, looking to the sky and thinking, and I'm like, I have to go over there and tell him, dude, this guy's still on the board. And then Hector goes, oh, is he really? And he gets so hyped up, and then he takes another 5 minutes to think about it. So, but I remember on the Keenan Allen pick, Hector being so excited.
I was. I got Keenan Allen in the seventh round. How was that even possible?
See, that's what I mean. It was so exciting. It was like
watching
your child. That was the moment. Santa's gift.
That was the moment of the draft for me. I was able to just kind of like exult in the moment.
You needed it. You needed it.
Well, I will say we're not gonna be picking DK Metcalf in the sixth, seventh
round.
Or Keenan Allen.
Any of those.
Well, who goes first? Who goes DK or Keenan?
DK goes. Well, actually, I think DK probably goes first. The guy's a beast, and if Russell Wilson is still Russell Wilson.
Yeah, if Russell Wilson leaves, then Metcalf gets traded for something. So
Metcalf's not getting traded if Russell leaves.
I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, but you're better. So
right. I think cooler heads are going to prevail. Russell Wilson's going to stay because the Seattle is going to realize we ain't getting Aaron Rodgers for Russell Wilson. So right. we're not trading up in any scenario. So
another how far did they drop question? Julio Jones outside the top 10.
He's down by the schoolyard. He's way out there, man.
Because I feel like wouldn't you rather have Keenan Allen and DK than Julio?
Where did Julio end up this year, George? What was his?
Oh, he was. I'll tell you in a second. Keep talking.
Yeah.
So Julio, we all had in the top five. I don't know if he's finished in the top five the past few years. That's a lot.
Are we picking the name? I mean, are we picking Julio Jones?
That's what I feel like. And with Matt Ryan, that's another name. But that team sucks right now. And George is all in a flux, so I don't want to have anything to do with
it. It just feels like Julio Jones
is outside the top 10.
You're supposed to pick Julio Jones high.
That's how I felt about Davante Adams the past three years.
You just have to do it. It's just.
So just to answer your question, he was number 52 last year. Because remember, he missed a bunch of games. But he was number 3 the previous year.
What was his average? Look at average stats.
Average stats, he averaged 16 fantasy points a game. Wow. So that was still pretty respectable. That was still very respectable because he had seven games. He averaged 110 yards receiving a game.
But I think Galladay did better than him. So I think in that case, Galladay, we need to now further rank him ahead of Julio, but also still keep in mind that both of them take a quarter of the season off PTO.
Well, I think Kenny Galladay is going to have to not do that this year because the homeboy got paid.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to have to, he's going to have to show up and do it big time.
Yeah. Who's going to throw to him?
It's going to be Daniel Jones.
I never heard of him.
Yeah, we'll see. We're going to find out.
Yikes.
The last guy that we're going to look at is maybe we were too low on him was AJ Brown. The consensus was 17. What was that, Primo?
I don't like him. He's like
Ricky clearly hates
Tennessee other than Henry.
He hates Tennessee, man.
What did he finish? What did AJ Brown finish?
Number 7. And that was missing two games.
What can Brown do for you, Rick?
He was number seven. And when, and from the time that he came back from his injury, I remember I did this, I statted this out for someone else. He was the wide receiver three from like week five or six till the end of the season.
I'll tell you what, I don't want to say he's gimmicky, but he's reliant on that long pass. And I don't know if it's just he's always going to do it or he just got lucky. I wouldn't pick him number seven. Overall wide receiver. That's like picking him over Michael Thomas. Would you pick him over Michael Thomas next?
Isn't Antonio Brown the same? In early in Antonio Brown's career, wasn't he?
I wasn't an analyzer back then.
Right, George. Wasn't Antonio Brown also kind of reliant on the long ball? And he made a career out of
it. No, no. Antonio Brown would take him in the middle, get hit a lot.
Yeah.
He did everything.
No.
So, but like, for example, Tyreek Hill's relying on the long ball. So, and I don't like having a Tyreek Hill because I don't like those weeks where you just see a zero from them because they got no catches or they get one catch for 5 yards. And that's how I feel this guy is. I just feel like he got lucky. And I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know. I just hate the setup in Tennessee because I don't think it's a Super Bowl winning method. I think if you just let Derrick Henry run, no matter what, they'll win. But every time they turn to Ryan Tannehill to throw, it looks real pretty because AJ Brown makes it look nice, but they don't win that way.
The thing with them is, I mean, they lost Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith. So they have, as of right now, they, AJ Brown is their, you know, is their,
he's guarded.
He's going to get a lot of attention from the defense, but he's their number one receiver, and he doesn't have, there's no clear cut number two. So that to me, I mean, he had 106 targets in 14 games last year. So I just look at the fact that, I mean, if if you get another 30 targets from him that would have gone to Corey Davis last year, that's going to be I'm a big fan of his. I would probably draft him ahead of Michael Thomas just because barely.
Please do.
Okay, I will. Ooh, this is fun.
Please cool. do. God, I hope you guys pick him and Keenan Allen over Thomas.
And then we'll right. remind you. We'll remind you. We'll remind you about Keenan Allen only.
When we do this again? Oh, man. Again. We'll see where you really rank him, Rick.
Oh, Primos, that was more fun than should be allowed. So you know, for you know, UCLA winning, baseball is coming back, and looking back at last year and just having some fun. So
everything is good.
Eso es todo for our show. Hey, big thanks to the Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out in the Familia community. Please make sure to subscribe and leave us a review for wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to find original content at familiaffp.com. We're going to have some fun stuff coming up on there. And remember to follow us on Twitter at FamiliaFFB. Ricky, where do we find you on Twitter?
Ricky Torres TV.
Hector.
What the heck?
You can find me at Jorge Martin 17. Nico, we can find you at NicoLasVegas.com.
You can find me at the Safeway hanging out.
As you say, you can find him in Sonoma.
I'll be in the produce section hanging out.
So. I'll be trying out the smoothies.
Exactly.
I have some great suggestions for you guys.
Oh, man. And don't forget our Familia FFP Facebook page. Gracias. Let's ring in baseball season. And remember, everybody, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud. Go Giants.
No.
Oh, come on.
Vamos, Dodgers. Vamos, Dodgers.
As you said, George, we're going to ring in the new season.
Oh, salud, everybody.